Today on Real Radio.
Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but it does rejoice in the truth. That means that God's love delights when others turn towards the truth. That's what it means. Listen, God is saddened when someone turns toward evil, and God is rejoicing when someone turns towards the truth.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. And we're in a mini-series taken from a relatively familiar chapter, chapter 13. This series is called Finding the Love of Your Life, and today we concentrate on verse 6, where Paul makes a clear distinction between that which love rejoices in and what it does not rejoice in. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his series called Finding the Love of Your Life.
We need to get close to the heart of God again and be tender about the things that are evil and the things that are dangerous and resist the evil. The Bible says, and for time's sake, I'll paraphrase it. It's two tremendous passages of Scripture. Isaiah 62, verse 6 says, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem, that they never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. And then Ezekiel 33, 6 says, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes the life of a just one, just one of them, that watchman will be taken away because of his sin. I will hold the watchman accountable, God says. As Christians, you and I are supposed to be, listen, loving God, loving people, and hating iniquity. Not tolerating it. Yeah, Pastor, yeah, come on, move on. No, listen, watch out. Love will not be glad, the Bible teaches us, when one has gone astray into iniquity. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, Jesus says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more than that sheep than over the 99 which did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Can someone say amen? Isn't that awesome? Do you have a wayward child? Is your son or your daughter walking far from God? Do you have a husband or a wife far from God? Do you have a mother, father far from God? Do you have a friend far from God? The Bible says that if that person's a Christian and has wandered off, Jesus will make sure the 99 are all safe within the enclosure, and then that shepherd will go. By the way, listen, you've heard this before. You need to hear it again. Historically, do you know what the shepherd did to the one he found, right? You guys know this? Well, I'm going to pretend you don't know this. I'm going to say it because I want to say it. He finds that one that has strayed, picks it up, holds it, loves it, sits down with it, takes two rocks, stretches it out, puts the leg between the two rocks, gets a third rock, and breaks the back leg right in half. Boom! Breaks its leg. Boom, just like that. Why? Because he loves it. You see, it has a tendency to wander, prone to roam. And so, for 1 month, the sheep can go nowhere without being carried on the back of the neck of the shepherd. You ever seen that? I've literally seen this in Israel. You know what the lamb does when the shepherd sweats? The lamb licks his neck, getting the salt from the sweat. That little wayward stinker, out of 99, he's the closest to the shepherd after he comes back, after he gets disciplined. He has a limp the rest of his life by the result of his sins, but he sure is close to his shepherd now. He knows how the shepherd smells. He can hear the vibration of the shepherd's shoulders when the shepherd speaks. He can't get any closer. He may have a limp. You may have a limp, but you've learned a great lesson. The Bible tells us in Philippians 1:8, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment. That is, you and I would know what's right and what's wrong and to stay away from it. And I like that. Is he a relationship God? Second point is this, and it's our final one. By this purity, he is able to sustain me. Finding him who is altogether pure is finding this, that he's able to sustain me. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy about this. Look at verse 6. It says, but rejoices in the truth, the keeping power of Jesus Christ, who himself is truth. Jesus will see to it, my friend, that you and I, who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that we're satisfied. Let me listen. Don't answer. Don't raise your hand. In this room, do you really want Jesus Christ to have absolute control of your life? If you do, he will see to it that your hunger is satisfied. I must confess, if you don't, then you have a road to travel that's a little bit longer than some. Oh, he loves you, but he's going to have to sit you down a few times and break a leg or two. And he doesn't want to do that. He doesn't delight in doing that. But he will sustain me, and he'll sustain you. The keeping power of Jesus, it's the power behind the most beloved passage, perhaps, of the entire world. Even non-Christians love this verse. But the sustaining power of him who is pure to keep you and I, it is Psalm 23. You guys all know it. It blessed my heart this week, I got to tell you. It really hit me good. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For the word in Greek is, or Hebrew is actually because. Because you are with me. That's it. That's the criteria. That's everything. Look at it. For or because you're with me. Because you're with me what? Because you're with me. Because the Lord is with me. I can live this life and I will live this life. Everything, listen, everything. Can you say this? Will you be able to say this after today? Everything that happens in my life has been ordained by the hand of God if I'm walking with him. Nothing happens to me or you without it being Father filtered by the hand of Almighty God. He keeps you. You are closer to him than a child. This week, my daughter and son-in-law, Friday, we went to the court because all the final stuff was done regarding the adoption, which is really cute. Many of you don't even know that we have an adopted granddaughter in our family because many of you send me notes and say, your granddaughter looks just like you. Well, thank you. She's beautiful. That's kind of nice. Thanks to hear that. And it was awesome because we went into the courtroom before the judge. We're all standing there, and they're standing there with the baby, and they're holding. The parents have got to raise their right hand, and they swear to the state of California, I will take care of this child. I will. In fact, you know what? You know, it's a bummer. After being there, I've never seen this happen before. When my kids came out, it's like, what the heck? Well, wrap it up. Wash it. Take it home. It's yours. Okay, see ya. Pay the bill. All right, bye. Kind of anticlimactic after seeing an adoption take place. Have you ever seen an adoption take place? Parents got to stand there. They hold their hand up. And they say, I promise to take care of this child. I promise to love this baby. I promise to provide, to lay down my life for this child. And they're standing there like that, and I'm thinking, man, nobody did that for me. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And I tell you what, man, I just started crying in that courtroom. The Lord said, Jack, I adopted you. Amen. I promised to sustain you. That's where that word comes for this message today. I'll sustain you. I'll take care of you. I'll see you all the way through to the end. And as soon as that judge got done doing that, it was so cute, the judge, by the power of the state of California and blah, 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 and all this stuff, and bam, bam, and boom, it's done. And then the judge reaches down below the bench and pulls out a basket of stuffed animals and says, Emmeline, come and get a stuffed animal. Let me get a picture with you. She's a year and a half, she's 19 months old. And the judge is like this. And the judge still had the robe on, was still behind the bench, But as soon as it was done, the judge just turned into a whole different person. It was awesome. If a person can do that, what about your God? He's able to sustain you. I read this story this week. I have to repeat it to you the best I can. A pastor with his little girl and a wife. The mother got cancer and she died. And they're walking down the street and the little girl said to her dad, "Daddy, why did Jesus have to take mommy home? Why did Jesus have to take mommy away?" And that brokenhearted father couldn't think of how to comfort or to answer her question. Listen to this. And a few moments later, a big bus passed by them on the street, and a shadow of the bus went right over them, right through them. And then the answer came to that young pastor with that young little girl, that widow. And he said, "Did you see that? The shadow went right by us. Don't worry, honey. Mommy's at home with Jesus, and she's waiting there for us. We'll see her again, and it will be forever then. Just remember this. When we're with Jesus, the shadows cannot hurt us. They just go right past us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Amen. It's only a shadow. And there's got to be a bright light to cast a shadow. Joshua 1:5, God says to Joshua, "I will not leave you or forsake you." It's repeated again in Hebrews 13:5. God says that to you. Psalm 63:7 says, "Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me." God does that. Psalm 83:35. "You give me your shield of victory." I love that. God gives us the shield of victory. "And your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great." I got that verse from the judge. I mean, the judge didn't give me the verse. I saw what the judge did. And that verse came to my mind. All the power, all the authority. And then it kneels down and pulls out the toys. Does Jesus sustain you? Do you know what that is? To have him sustaining you? Psalm 40:2 says, "He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord." That's a messianic psalm. Did you know that Psalm 40 is speaking about the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, to the nation of Israel? "Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but it does rejoice in the truth." That means that God's love delights when others turn towards the truth. That's what it means. Listen, God is saddened when someone turns toward evil, and God is rejoicing when someone turns towards the truth. Time doesn't allow. Please write it down. This is your homework for today. It's Luke 15:11-24. Luke 15:11-24. Why? Because it's all about the prodigal son. And the same word that says he's a prodigal son, listen, the word prodigal is to live extravagantly, to lavish upon himself all the earthly wants. That's what he did. Imagine today, he wins the lotto. I told you guys before, over 74 or 75% of people who win the lotto wind up being absolutely bankrupt, hooked on drugs, divorced, ruined, or in jail. Did you know that? The young man in the prodigal son story, he got all of his goods and went out and blew it all. He lived extravagantly. And in the Greek, you don't get this in the English. It's unfortunate. It's the prodigal son who blew it. And the word in the Greek of that chapter is the prodigal father. The same word, but in a positive application. The prodigal father lavished his wealth and his love and his goodness upon his returning son. Extravagantly blessed him and loved him. What is that a picture of? God's love for you, but Jack, I'm a jerk. Jack, I'm terrible. Jack, I'm a fool. Come home. Get back. Will God have me? He loves it. Run to him quick. Stop goofing around. Go get to him. We're to be, listen, affected and afflicted when our Christian brothers and sisters go astray from Jesus. This is what we learned from this verse, because it's the heart of God. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. That's temple talk. Love will cover a multitude of sins. You know someone who's hurting? Love them. And I don't mean love them like a wimp. Oh, hi, Mike. Oh, I see that you're sleeping with Bubbles and Dixie and you know, and you're drinking and you're far from Jesus. And I just want you to know I love you. And that's all so sweet. That's all it is. You'll never help him. You need to say, hey, I know that you're sleeping with Dixie and Bubbles and Snoopy and Doopy or whatever, and I know you're all messed up. You know what? I love you so much. You need to turn from this, because the Bible says that God will stick his hand down your throat and rip your heart out and throw it against the wall, run you over with a... I would love to say that, but... But you can say God loves you so much, he's going to give you a real wallop of a spanking if you don't come around. Now, come on back. And a Christian will always go, man... everything you just got done saying, I know it's true. I don't know, God will have me back. That's how a Christian responds. You know how a non-Christian responds who you think's a Christian? Stop judging me, man. Dude, who made you judge? Yikes. Didn't Jesus live like this? Wasn't Jesus afflicted and affected when someone went astray or someone was in iniquity? You know it very well. I don't need to repeat it, but the epitome is the woman caught in the act of adultery. He lived it perfectly. Did he sweep her sin under the carpet? No. Did he tolerate it? No. He said, what's the deal here? This woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Moses, the law says she should be stoned to death. That is true. Jesus didn't refute that. He said, okay, here's some stones. Here, guys. You guys who found her watching her in the act of adultery, which I wish Jesus would have had a follow-up on that here as he's handing the stones. By the way, before you get ready to throw these stones at her, what were you doing watching her? But we won't go there right now. Hands them stones, and he says, okay, you guys ready? Oh, yeah. You could see all, you know, there's one rabbi there. He's got his curl hanging down. He's got his hat on, and he's in a Nolan Ryan windup, man. And Jesus just goes, oh, yeah, and by the way, whoever's without sin, let him be the one who throws the first stone. And these guys, you see these guys, what'd you say? Oh my gosh, that would have been great to see. Was she guilty? Yes. Was she a sinner? Yes. Was she going to die for her sins? Yes. Jesus didn't tolerate it. He showed her a greater way, and it was love. And then he turned to her and he said, woman, where's your accusers? After they all ran home, and she said, I guess I don't have any. She didn't say she was forgiven. She said, I don't have any accusers. When she looked at him, she knew he knew it all. And what did he say? He could have said, well, you may not have those bozos coming after you, but I'm the Son of God and you're toast. No, he said, go now and sin no more. Amen. Something about those words to her clicked, and she lived a new life. Yes. That's the God who is the lover of your soul. Charles Spurgeon said, it's only at the cross where mercy and truth can meet. Mercy is mercy. Truth is truth. But they can only come together at the cross. Love loves the truth. And it's amazing. It's awesome. It's altogether great. The Bible says in Psalm 33:13, we're almost done. The Lord looks from heaven. Listen to this. The Lord looks from heaven. He's looking now, church. He sees all the sons of men, mankind. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. Someone has rightly said, plant a thought, reap an action. Plant an action, you'll reap a habit. Plant a habit, you'll reap a character. Plant a character, and you'll reap a destiny. How are you living? And I give you one final verse. David, in Psalm 51, in fact, prior to Psalm 51, listen to this. The Psalms prior to Psalm 51, David is arrogant. Read them. You'll never read the Psalms the same after you see this. From Psalm 1 all the way through to Psalm 50, David is saying, God, I am righteous out of the integrity of my heart. You've seen me destroy the wicked, and I'm awesome. And, you know, read them. And then he sins with Bathsheba. Sleeps with another man's wife, gets her pregnant, finds out she's pregnant, has his special forces detail get her husband killed so he could cover it up. A year later, the prophet comes and says, David, God from heaven in his dwelling place has seen it all. And David pens Psalm 51. And in verse 8, he says, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. How many people do you know as a murderer, an adulterer, fornicator, who's in heaven today? I know one. His name's David. So don't sit here this morning and say you can't make it. The only way you cannot make it is because you are incredibly stupid and stubborn. No, I'll change that. You're incredibly stubborn.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6, where Paul makes a clear distinction between that which love rejoices in and what it does not rejoice in. Finding the love of your life is the title of today's lesson. In fact, Finding the Love of Your Life is actually a mini-series taken from this part of Paul's letter. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget to visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. It's a great way to keep up with everything that's happening with Real Radio. Now, one thing you can do is subscribe to Words to the Wise. Now, that's Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can get by email. Every week, more Real Radio listeners subscribe to Words to the Wise. And they're also writing in and telling us how much they appreciate getting this daily devotional. For example, here's one letter. Pastor Jack, I so appreciate your Words to the Wise messages. They're both inspiring and a source for my enlightenment. However, I have to say they are more like words to the foolish, because I can really be that way at times. I sure need God's word to make me think and to be wiser. Thank the Lord for his word. It seems that Jesus takes the dumb things I do to make me wise if I pay attention to him, his spirit, and his word. Thank you for helping me along this narrow path. Isn't that a great letter? Subscribe to Words to the Wise and then write to us. Tell us what you think. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on the button on the right there that says devotional. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.